Well, I appreciate your prayers. I'm amazed at what a creation that the Lord made. And I think about it quite often. I don't know how much you think about these kind of things, but the scripture says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I recognize that. When I think about everything that we can do, our ability to see and hear and think and function and also of how fragile it is, it's fearfully made. It's wonderfully made. God did a lot of things for us. You know, I wonder a lot of times just how much man has lost from the creation. Evolutionary theory is that mankind came from a one-celled being and over many years evolved up into a animal life and into some kind of humanoid of some kind, then on into mankind, and it took millions of years to do that. We don't believe in that. I don't believe that. If that's true, the theory is that man is always getting smarter. His brain size is bigger, and he's always getting more intelligent. But I don't believe that. I believe God made man in his image, and therefore, because of sin, I really think that we're not getting smarter. I think it's fairly evident that we're not getting smarter. I think that technology and the ability to build upon other works is increasing, but I don't really think that mankind's mind function is better. I think it's actually worse. I think that would be proven by the fact that God would have done it right originally. I don't think we're getting better or smarter. I know we're not getting closer to the Lord. So I want us to think a little bit. I'd like to look at a scripture in the 6th chapter of Genesis tonight and think about a few of these things. God created Adam and Eve. I wonder what they knew and understood. I mean, they walked with the Lord. They had fellowship with the Lord. An interesting fact is did you know that Adam and Eve spoke to one another? That they must have had language.
Yes.
Well, where did they get it from? I mean, they was created and spoke to one another in a language. What was the, how, I mean, I want us to think a little bit, but I wonder how many words they knew. I mean, language makes up words. You have to have a vocabulary. I am still learning the English language somewhat. Not got any close. We're trying to get it right, but I'm still learning words. Well, how many did the Lord give Adam and Eve? He gave them something when he created them.
Yes.
You ever think of those kind of things? God created them and gave them a language. They just had it. Did he give them math skills? I just wondered what, how much math did Adam know? I don't know. I imagine he knew something. I think he knew an incredible lot. I think of pi, for instance. Pi, the term pi in math has to do with the circumference of a circle having to do with its diameter and its radius around it. It's 3.1416. Most of the time you just use 3.14. But that is how much it goes per every unit. That's what it is. That's what pi is. I wonder if Adam knew what pi was. I'm just curious, but the Bible doesn't say that he knew what pi was. But I just wonder if he did. I have a notion that he might have known a lot of things. And you know, there's a lot of things that comes up in life sometimes that I look at that I don't understand. And I wonder if it isn't an indication maybe of what man maybe, and I'm not trying to get way out there for you folks, I really ain't, there's a point to it. But I wonder what we lost as mankind. Because I really think they may have knew more than we think they knew. The Lord created Adam and told him, I mean gave him charge and he named the animals. How did he do that? I think God must have created man a lot higher than we think he did. You ever hear of Annie Oakley? Here's the story of Annie Oakley. Annie Oakley was about 13 years old and her dad died. They were very poor and they were starving to death. So you do what you have to do. So Annie Oakley gets her dad's gun and takes out to the field. And a rabbit jumps up. The girl never shot a gun. She wasn't practiced with the gun. She wasn't skilled with the gun. She just needed to kill the rabbit. The rabbit jumps up and she shoots it and thinks that's pretty easy. A little bit more, the bird flies up, she gets the bird. Annie Oakley went on in history as one of the greatest shots with a gun that there ever was. Annie Oakley never drew a sight on a gun. She just pulled up and shot. Now, I thought about that many times, and me being in a position of hunting and all, Annie Oakley's story went on. She was able to not only feed the family with her expert with a rifle shot, but she actually was able to sell the wild meat and make money for the family. Until there come a time that there was a guy come through where she was at that was a sharpshooter, and you could give a dollar and if you could beat him, you got so much money. And he felt so sorry for her when she come and gave the dollar, going to try to shoot against him because he was an expert shot, that he tried to get her to turn the money, said, you don't get your money back. And he didn't want to take advantage of this poor girl, but she outshot this expert and got the money. He later married her. That was her husband after a while. He married her, but Annie Oakley could shoot a cigarette out of his mouth and never miss and never draw a sight on it. And for a side note, that's where you get along real well with your wife. But if she can shoot it out and never draw a sight on it. Now, I'm just making this to a point. How could she do that? I really want to know how she can do that. I've pondered it many times, somebody that fools with guns and have shot many, many, many shots. I never had a gun that could shoot as good as Annie Oakley could. I never had loads of shells loaded to the accuracy that Annie Oakley could shoot them. Annie Oakley could shoot a gun better than the gun could shoot. It's unexplainable. But there is a tolerance in a rifle. You can lock a rifle down, and you have to get the sweet spot and get the ammunition perfectly loaded to be able to cut the bullet hole back out. It'll spread on you. It'll go by different loads and different ways the vibration of the barrel is. But Annie Oakley could outshoot the gun. I don't know how she could do it. She hit 4,973 glass balls thrown in the air out of 5,000. That's 99.4%. The girl almost never missed when none of the weapons she shot was as good as she could shoot. And I just say this. I don't understand how she did it. She didn't know how she did it. She never tried to do it. She never tried to get a shot. She could just do it. Something in her mind, something that was given to her, made her to be able to outperform the very thing she was using. That's just astounding to me. Yes. How could she do it? Well, the question could never be answered. But I wonder if there is sometimes this a little bit left that shows us what the mind's capable of, that God created in us. You know, I just wonder and ponder about these things sometimes. There's many animals that you can do this. I remember one time my dad tried to get rid of these dogs, these old dogs that was around the house. So he hauled them way off, and after a while they come back to the house. So he got them and he took them further, way off again. They all come back again. Oh, well, how does a dog know which way to go? We wouldn't think he'd know. Well, you don't have to tell a dog which way to go. He knows where he's at on this planet. God put something in him to let him know where he's at. Carrier pigeons do it. People do it with pigeons. Birds do it. Animals do it. Butterflies do it. Geese do it. You try to lose one of them. You can't lose them. They know where they're at. I just wonder if God gave that to early man that he knew where he was at. It's possible that God did. Well, I say, somebody made a statement one time, how did Noah know how to build the ark? Well, I think God told him. But beyond that, Who's to say whether Noah knew how to build an ark or not? It may have been the plain to him as he could be. Well, where are you at? Now, I know where I'm at. So, there is some outstanding history about men that's been out on the ocean and being able to know where they're at while they're out there. There is native people in different lands that you go and get them for a guide because they always know where they're at. There's a vestige or something seems to be left in there. I'll give you a few more cases. There was a man. He became a man when he was born. He was so retarded that the doctors told the father to put him in some kind of an institution and go on about his life because he would never be able to function. And instead of giving him his life to it, to give it up. Well, it was the man's son. And he was endeared to him. So he could never do it. So he kept the son. And he kept him. And he was very retarded. And at a very young age, at about 4 years old. This is well documented, folks. Very well documented. At very, very young age, while he was still crawling, he would pull books down. Encyclopedias and things like that. And they got the notice that he was doing this to him. They never tried to teach him to read. He never learned to read. But he was able, completely retarded to the point he never was able to function in life. He could never feed himself. He couldn't shave. He couldn't dress. He couldn't do anything. But he could read, and he could read very fast. He could read pages at a time. And he became a very famous person known as the Rain Man. He was able to look through things so fast. And he never forgot it. Ever forgot it. And up in his life, they would come by and they said anything that he ever read, he was able to remember that. He could recall it. They could ask him. They would get in lines and come by him and just simply say, who played in the 1923 World Series? And he'll tell them who pitched and what the averages was. And he could say that about that. He could tell them about Russian culture, any culture. Anything that he ever read, he remembered. He loved to go to the library and just read it. He couldn't take care of himself, nothing else, but his mind was able to remember everything, could take it in. That tells me that the human mind is capable of it. God made that, and I wonder, did early man have that? Is that a vestige of what man might have been? God created man wonderfully. I'm going to tell you, sin took a toll on mankind. There was another man. This is incredible. There's another man that had the ability. He was not retarded. It was different than him. He didn't have autism or nothing like that. But he had the ability to calculate. He could not tell you how he could do it. He didn't know how he could do it. It just that when he started doing it, the numbers come in his mind. And he could get the numbers. He didn't know how he did it. But he claimed that he could pi is repetitious infinitely. 3.1416 endlessly. He said, I can calculate it in my mind as far as you want. I can do it to the 20,000th time. Nobody believed it, so they sat down with it in great lists of papers, and he sat down and for hours and hours and hours and hours and read all, and he calculated pi, and he went until he got to the 20,000th. Well, he got to the 10,000, said he was tired, so he took a break. And he come back after 10,000, started calculating, and took it to the 20,000th. He didn't even know how he could do it, but he could do it because of the way God created us. Yes. Incredible what God had done for us early. I don't know what to say other than I'm not convinced that we're getting smarter. I'm wondering what we lost and what sin has really done to mankind. There's a lot of examples. You know, there was a very well-documented case where there was a man just recent, not long ago. This was not in the tabloids, folks. This was regular headline news. There was a man that had an accident and was a great trauma on him, head trauma and all. And when he came out, he spoke fluid Spanish. But he never spoke a word of Spanish till he was in the accident. And he come out speaking full Spanish, and he done it for a few days, and when it left and lost, he went back to English and couldn't speak Spanish again. It was well documented. I heard it on regular news. They were so puzzled by what could have happened. How can you speak something that you never learned? I think there's a vestige, is the only thing I can say, of the creation that God made. That sin has so warped us from God's original purpose and what we originally were. Well, let's look at the scripture in the 6th chapter of Genesis. It says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also his flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same become mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Do you know there's a guy, or a number of people, that were born blind, that can play basketball, can roller skate, skateboard down the street, by themselves, and do that? By making a clicking sound, and getting images through their hearing? True! They can actually, a form of sonar, people that was completely blind had been so able to develop the sense of hearing that they make a happy click and can recognize that there's a pole or whatever. They can do a number of things. That's incredible. I wonder if all of us could do. I wonder what God made man's capability originally, if the mind can do such things. Who can know? But I know that God is a big God, and He made a great creation, and He crowned it with us. The greatest of the creation is humanity. Mankind was His crowning feature of all that He done. And I look at the universe, I look at all and say, we've crowned it all for Him in creation. Well, here's the scenario in this time. I'm bringing this out to say that man was given great potential to do good, to have life and have great things in life. Well, what an advantage it would be to have all those kind of things. You know, we wouldn't have no reason to invent GPS if we all knew where we was at. You think of that. What would it mean to be able to walk in the dark if you just didn't need to use your eyes, you could use your hearing? To be able to see where you was at, make it clear. I mean, and your mind was capable of all of that. Think of the possibilities that we would have to be able to if we understood pi and you know what the golden number is. I mean, it's an amazing idea. I think about it a lot. There's what's called a ratio, a golden ratio. One and one is two, and two and one is three and two is five and three is eight. And 8 and 5 is 13, and you go on like that, and the difference between that number is 1.6. Oh, we just keep on going. And they find that all of creation, they look, and everywhere you look in the design of God is 1.6. The ratio of that number appears through all architecture, and it shows up in the human body's limbs. I mean, it shows up in flowers that'll have 13 and 21, and I mean, it shows up all over the place. The Lord does those things. Supposing that we know all of those things, and we know the universe, and we know all those things, and all the things that we can bless one another with and have in life, if we was able to do that. And what has sin done? It caused us to take all of our intelligence and destroy ourselves with it. Instead of blessing, being a blessing, it become a curse. It's not a good thing to have all this information to use to bad. You want to take the number system and the idea of energy plus mass equals the Einstein theories and all those things, and you make a nuclear bomb and we blow each other up with it. That isn't a good idea.
No, it's not.
The idea of having endless energy would be great, but to take it and use it against one another is awful. Annie Oakley was a crack shot, but it's awful to shoot people. Understand what I'm saying? God did a wonderful thing for us to give us intelligence and all these things, but we have to be curbed if we're going to use it wrongly. And here's the story of early man, right here. And this is the way it reads. It seems to be saying that there's two different lines from the creation. One is the line of Cain, and the other was the line of Seth. One was called the sons of God, the others and the daughters of men. And the way the scripture sounds is that they obviously had a life culture. The word here that says giant, that there was giants in the land, is better interpreted bullies or tyrants. There was big bullies and tyrants in the land. At this time, it wasn't always like that. There was a time that everybody needed one another, and there was a family unit, no doubt, and they worked like that. But as time went on and population went on, and there become splits in that, men began to use their information, their way, their things, to be bullies and tyrants. And now they become in subjection. And they had a certain way they worshiped idols, they done hideous things, and on this one side, and they was completely away from God, that they wasn't, they was only the daughters of men. They had went completely away from the idea of God. The other side was those that came through, they weren't the bullies. They were the sons of God. And they had kept the way of God. It only have to be that way. I wonder if Adam and Eve didn't tell their children about their visitation from the Lord. Most definitely they did. And just for an idea, God gave them language, but you know there wasn't none of it wrote down until, well, I suppose Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. Well, where did all this information come from and be retained? It was retained in incredible minds. They didn't need to write it down, I don't believe. There come a time that if you don't write it down, we're going to lose it. It needs to be restored because we're not like that. We're losing. And now it needs to be, so they write it down. Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, but here's the situation. You got the evil over here with all of its influence coming now. There's more and more people. And over here is the sons of men that have followed the ways of God. They have kept God in their thinking. They made sacrifices probably. They lived in enough that I can say positively that God says that they were sons of God. Yes. That He recognized them as a righteous seed and still accepted them. He still was accepting them as the sons of God. But now we come to this place in the burden of my message. Because as it is in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As we get farther and farther along, I'd like to call us tonight the sons of God. Yes. There was a place in history where God called them the sons of God, and they didn't remain the sons of God. Something happened. What happened in this scenario that the sons of God lost being the sons of God? Well, we want to look a little bit at it because it's serious for our lives tonight. Yes. There is a big world of tyrants out there and bullies that have influence over this world. And this is what happened to the sons of God. Another expression here, it says that the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh." And there is a time where the spirit of the Lord can no longer do the function because of the flesh. It says that in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters, I want to go back. It says that the sons of God, in second verse, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. Do you know this is the first indication of the trouble that the sons of God was going about to be in? Because we're not to live by the observation of our eyes. The sons of God have great liberty to be moved by the Spirit of God through life. We have great liberty and a great privilege of being able to find the Word of God to fit what we ought to do in life. We have a great chance, an opportunity that God would be able to lead my life rather than me be able to do it myself. When I begin to start saying, that looks good and it's what I want, this is the first part of the problem. Never did they say, Lord, what do you want? Or what should we do? There obviously was a space of time. There's a lot of givens in here. There was obviously a space of time where the sons of God did not move towards the daughters of men. They were different people. They were totally a different people. They were staying a different people. Yeah, they was the same in creation, but they were a different minded people. A different direction in their hearts. They had a different purpose of life. They were still serving the Lord. The other people wasn't serving the Lord. They were following their own flesh in their own ways, in their own bullying, their own tyrannical ways. They weren't trying to live for God. And the men, the sons of God stayed away from that. I know we're going to reach out to the world, folks, but we're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. The world will destroy us. We're to keep ourselves unspotted from it, to stay away from it. But they looked and seen that the daughters of men were fair. It means they was good to look at. They saw it. It was appealing to them. It was something that drew them. That our world today runs off of a visual image.
Yes.
I want to warn us tonight about the visual image that we are bombarded with. Drive down the road, you see the billboards. That's just a small part of it. I wonder how many flashes of screens and how many visuals we get every day. Visuals. I'm not a great computer person, but I'm on the computer enough to know that if you're not careful, even on innocent areas, there'll be a pop-up that's shameful.
Yes.
You know it too. If you're on there very much, you know it, because it happens to me, and that's just shameful. And there can be a lot of innocency in it, but the danger that was here to start with is when the sons of men looked that it was fair. It looked good. And therefore they reached out to that that would look good. And before long, this is what we like to think. That our experience is so powerful, so strong, and the Lord's Spirit in my life is so strong that I can do anything without danger. We feel that way. I've heard it said. Make sure the Lord's in you and you just go and you can go into the bars or you can go into the busy beach and you can just go and be a witness for the Lord. I'd say the Lord leads you there and give you grace for it. But other than that, you better guard your soul.
Yes.
You better guard your soul, because what happened to the sons of God? You can't tell me that the sons of God just up and said, we're going to quit being sons of God. No, they said, we're going to go get the daughters of men because they're fair. And of all that they saw, that all that they wanted and longed for, I'm going to tell you what it was, folks. Plain and simple. They looked at these girls over here, and these girls was looking good. That's what this says. They looked and they were enticing. And they didn't say, I'm not going to be a son of God. They said, I want that. And I'll convert that. I will convert her to my way. The idea is that we're going to convert them over. But listen to the scriptures. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same become mighty men, which were of old men of renown. Now, again, this is where the point of what I was saying before, they lent their strength and they lent it to the next generation. But the next generation didn't stay true. The next generation become mighty men and men of renown. But again, that's in the negative sense. The word renown there is exactly what it says, renamed. They were renowned. In other words, they were one thing, but they was named again. Annie Oakley become Little Miss Sure Shot. The Indian named her. She was a little miss. The Indian name for Annie Oakley was Little Miss Sure Shot. She was named, but Annie Oakley don't mean anything. So they renamed her. They renamed her what she was capable of being. There were people of great renown at that time, but they was renamed. They once was righteous. The cause was once righteous. They were named righteous. They were named those things, but they were renamed. They were named with another name. They had something else. It was men of great renown in their time. Great thinkers. They had great power. To do what with? To bless mankind? To bless their children? To bless those that are around them? Folks, listen. Our children will almost always go a little farther than we will. I've been in this too long. I've seen it too much. You take a step towards the world and see where your children will take it to. You open the door something and see where they'll open the door for. When we start leaning towards things, our responsibility in this, we better be very careful, because if we go one step, they'll take two. It happens over and over, one generation to the other, and we're sitting wondering what happened to this whole thing. They're renamed. Got a different name, renowned. Come to a different place. So the scripture says that they were mighty men, which were of old renowned. And then the next verse, and God saw that the wickedness of man. So where's the sons of God? What happened to the sons of God? What's going to happen to us as this world gets wickeder? Are you going to be renamed? Lord, help us tonight. The world's, I'm telling you, devil's bitten high. Boy, there's a lot of stuff out there. It's really easy to get caught up in these things. And it's really easy to just say, I'm saved and it won't matter. Well, it will matter. Yes. And we need to take a very strict mind of this for our souls. That this can affect us in our souls. This can be dangerous to us. So much so that the Lord says, when He looked at the whole thing, will I find faith on the earth as these things come? The scripture says in the last day, perilous times shall come. It's going to be a wicked time. It's going to be, there's going to be a lot of tyranny out there. Going to be a lot of bad things out there. People are going to be vicious. Yes. They're going to be unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Brute beast. Are we not headed that way? Do we not see it coming that way? There was a time where the sons of men surely looked and said, that's ridiculous. That way of life is so hurtful, so harmful. We see the tyrant. Who would want to be tyrannical? Who would want to live under a tyrant? The sons of God were free. I'm talking about a tyrant under them. They were in a culture altogether different than that culture. The culture over here was under tyrants and people were abused and all those kind of things. But it wasn't long until the whole thing was unrecognizable, till the Lord looked down and the sons of God weren't the sons of God anymore. Did you know that God didn't stop it when they started looking? God let it play out. You want to look towards those fair women of the daughters of men? I won't stop you. But you won't be the sons of God when you get through. You'll end up being, you won't make the defiled holy. They'll make the holy defiled. And thus it goes in our life too. And I want to give the warning tonight, not only as a collective group, but individually, that if you're the sons of God tonight, stay the sons of God. Use the energy and effort that you have, that God gives you, your God-given talents, to maintain yourself in the Lord and watch for your soul, because the world's bidding high. There's a lot out there for young people. I'm telling you, I have a burden for the young people, and I think of the young people often. And think I'm in a certain age, especially, and I think of the world's young people a lot of times, and think these innocent people, year after year, these innocent teenagers, year after year, they're coming out of the innocency of their youth, and the world's gobbling them up. Just gobble them up and all these things and defilement, and the world saying it ain't defiled, you can't say that. Oh, and at the same time, it's just taught to be anything and do anything, and everything's free and all these things, and it's just destroying and destroying. Lord, help us to live close to the Lord. And when we look and say, I realize, folks, that there is a daughters of men. I realize that there is an influence out there that is so glamorous, is so pretty, looks so good. They promote it so much. They put the cover girl face on the front, and you see her, and young girls look, and it's appealing, and she's done just right. There's nothing but destruction at the end of that. There's nothing but heartache at the end of those things. Oh, I know, I can't help from saying it, but in my mind, the sons of God, they had to have daughters too. Did they look at them and say, they just ain't quite as attractive? What they done? It's the second failure. First, they went by their eyes. And they did not look at the quality of the inside. The sons of men chose the daughters of men without considering what was on the inside. Of the value of what you would really want out of life. You know, that's the way choosing the world is. If we would stop and look at the inside of the issues that we go for, really look inside of it, and see what it really is inside, to see whether I want to incorporate that into my life or not. What is the end of this? Do you really want to, young ladies, do you really want to attract a guy that don't have it on the inside? Do you know what you're putting your life in peril of getting a guy that don't have it in the inside? He might be a good looking, he might have that little bit of a risque that's always looked for, he might be a little daring and all those kinds. Do you know what having a little risque and daring husband's going to be like? He might start out a little bit. But you better watch choosing those. And men, I mean young guys, how much the eyes to be drawn. And you say, how fair are the daughters of men? How attractive, but how valuable are they? What's really on the inside? To look and long and to have something worth something on the inside. The mistake that the sons of God made were enormous at the end. Because it wasn't a very long time after that happened until the Lord looks down upon the whole thing, and this is what he said. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. The daughters of men had won. The side of Cain had won. The influence of the world, of humankind had been beaten down by the lineage of Cain and outdone. The love of God and the presence of God in people's lives, and this evil side had come to the point that men would rather go after their flesh and after those faithful, and they come down to this defining moment where God looks down and says, the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What does that mean? Have you ever pondered that? That the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. I still wrestle with really understanding that. Is that just a way of framing words? Were they really that bad? That's what the scripture says. I look at it and say, could it be possible that the only motives in people's hearts all the time was for self-promotion and self-waste? That it was only continual in their heart? That men lusted and cheated and all of that was only a continual thing? They had no point of righteousness or godliness left in their life? They had no goodness in their life left? When God looked down and said the wickedness was great, that the imagination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. Yes. Lord, help us. And yet I look at the world around us, and folks, I want to say there's still a lot of good people on this earth, and I'm thankful for them all. I'm thankful that there is still people, and they don't always have to be deep religious people, but there's people that still will stop and help you. There is still people that have goodwill in mind, and I thank God for it, but I see a move towards this world that just really shakes me. I see a move towards hideous things, terrible things, filthy and ungodly things that are working more and more and are in your face with it. You're going to be this way, and you're going to do it too. And Lord, help us. Yes, Lord, help. And God saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Do you know that the scripture says that Noah condemned the world? You know how he did it? God looked down on all of mankind. And he saw that they were only, the imaginations of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And then he looked and he saw one man. One man. That still, that had come through the lineage of the righteous lineage. And he had maintained himself in a wicked and defiled world. One man. And the scripture says that he condemned the world. And the why, the reason he done it is obvious. If one man can do it, all men can.
That's right.
He judged them. When God looked down and they couldn't have said, I can't do it, because there was one man did. And if that one man could do it, all men could do it, and they were condemned because they didn't do it when one man did. And he stood alone as that one man that did. And I want to tell you what the scripture's in Hebrew. You can look about it. It's in the chapter of faith. By faith, Noah built an ark. And you know why it said he done it? To the saving of his house. Noah built an ark to the saving of his family. He built an ark and was able to save his family. And if one man could have done it, all men could have done it, and they're all condemned by it. One man was able to stand against the tide of this world through all of the evil that it tried to bring, through all of the influence that it had on the world at its time, all of its tyrannical ways, everything that it done, and there was a man there that still had his heart towards God. And if one man can do it, all men can do it. And in this day, as we go through it, I want you to know, if one person can live for God and by the grace of God can stand up and say, I was able to do it, all of us can do it. It's not us that does it. It's by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. There is people that is going to, the scripture says, Jesus said himself, is going to judge this evil generation. Talking to the generation he was of, he said that the queen of the south was going to rise in judgment and judge them and lay a judgment on them. You know why? Because she responded to Solomon. And the Lord said, if she responds to Solomon and she come on a great, great journey to seek the wisdom of Solomon. It wasn't like driving our fancy vehicles today. And even though they probably carried her, or she come with great fanfare, she still come a great journey in a great way. And she come and she made her way. And when she got there, she paid full attention. She saw Solomon. She no doubt saw his ascent to the temple. She saw the greatness of his work. And she saw that. And she said, the half hasn't been told. And the Lord said of her, she's going to rise in judgment against this generation. For there's one greater than Solomon. There's one that is so farther, much farther than Solomon. I can bring salvation to your soul. So much better. I can give you words of life. I can give you so much more than Solomon did. And she'll raise in Solomon, but in judgment, said of another group. You think of this. Said that the people of Nineveh.
Yes.
Old, evil Nineveh.
Yes.
That was an ungodly. That was a pagan, that was a idol worshiping place. And do you know when Jonah went and preached to them, they repented.
Yes.
And the Lord said that they're going to rise in judgment against this evil generation. Because there's one bad, oh, faulty Jonah. That's the one that run from the Lord.
Yes.
That's the one that the big fish ended up with. Had seaweed right around his neck. That's the guy that even after he repented of that and got down there, do you remember the rest of the story? He was upset that the Lord had mercy when they repented. He was some character. But yet he done the work of the Lord. There was something done there. But Jesus says to them that the people of Nineveh is going to rise in judgment against you, because there's one greater than Jonah coming to you now. There's a responsibility. Folks, there is down through the history of the church, people that have given their all, There has been people that will wipe away every excuse we have when judgment comes. When you think you're too sick or too feeble or you can't do it, there'll be someone. There'll be some poor old guy that crawled.
Yes.
That'll stand in judgment. And the Lord will say, give your account. And he'll say, I love you so much, Lord, that I crawled to service. Yes. And we'll stand there saying, I wouldn't walk. Or you'll say, I was too sick. And they'll be, I like to tell this story, but it was touching. Many of you knew my first wife knew that she got cancer and ended up dying of cancer. She had cancer. It was quite a touching thing. My neighbor across the street got a cold and was sick. And wife heard that she was sick, so she made her some chicken soup. Took the chicken soup over to her. And she got the door and rung the doorbell. And my neighbor lady's name was Anime. And Anime come to the door. And my wife hands her a bowl of chicken soup and said, here, I heard you was sick. I want to give you some chicken soup. The woman stood there and bawled. Just stood and wept. That this woman that had cancer made a bowl of soup for a woman that had a cold. And she stood and just wept on it and said, oh, that I should be making you soup. I should be making you soup. You know, there won't be a thing that you and I fail in the grace of God of, that there won't be 100 saints rise in judgment to tell us, to stand and say, it was much worse. You look at what we went through. You got some unforgiveness in your heart? There'll be a man named Stephen that said, don't lay it to their charge. While they were stoning him to death, they'll say, don't lay it to the charge. There'll be that mother of that child that was burning on the stake that was hollering at her son, hang on, son. Don't get that hatred in your heart. Love them to the end. Die in the Lord and you'll make it forever. And there'll be those that'll stand in judgment and say, God's grace was sufficient. I loved them right down though they burned me, though they stretched me apart, though they tormented me. The grace of God kept the love of God in my heart all the way through. And you and I won't forgive someone? The world's been hard. The world's tyrannical. The Lord wants to take that away. But the Lord has a grace to keep us in this time too.
Yes,
and Noah was a man that had judged the world, because if one man can do it, they all can. And he built an ark. And he was faithful through 100 years, 120 years. Preached the gospel to him, I suppose. Made an ark. Went through faith. Built a boat where it never rained before. Built a boat where there was no water. Built something to float when there was nothing around it to suggest it. But the Lord told him to. And this is your salvation, Noah. Listen to the Lord. This is the way you and your family are going to escape the deluge. Here it is. And the Lord, and Noah by faith, built an ark. And he believed the Lord. I wonder if it got worse in that 120 years. Started out with the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. And it didn't get no better. And as men increased, sin increased. Must have been an awful place to live in. All kind of hideous ways and things happening. Human sacrifices and overtaking people and enslaving people and all kind of lewd and screwed things must have happened. Cheat on every hand, steal on it. Must have been an awful world to live in. But Noah lived through it.
Yes, he did.
And was faithful. And the Lord said, my spirit didn't go on, I strive with them. And the Lord was able to take Noah all the way through. And the Lord can take us through too. And for every one of the excuses we have, won't hold up. They won't hold up. If you got bitterness in your heart tonight, won't hold up. If you're living in a sinful condition, I ain't gonna hold up. I got a habit that I can't break. It won't hold up. The hardest and strongest addictions in the world have been conquered by the grace of God. There'll be addicts that'll be standing up by His grace. I was delivered from that. By that grace, I was able to forgive people that killed my family. You believe that? There was a story. I heard it myself. The woman had a young daughter, and the daughter was abducted, abused, and murdered. The man was caught and sentenced, and the woman had a right to face him. The court gave her a right to go face him and tell him what she felt. And she went to him and said, I forgive you. I love you and I forgive you. She was a Christian and she couldn't afford it. But I'm going to tell you, she'll stand in judgment against the petty little differences that we have and don't forgive our brother. She'll stand in judgment. There's another story of a Christian lady in the Muslim world that had broken the Muslim custom. Had some people caught her and threw acid in her face and destroyed, as a young woman, It must have been awful to have her face run like that. They poured acid in her face, toward her face. They were brought to justice, and the justice was, here's your acid. As she looked at those that had done it to her, with the acid in her hand. Now, eye for an eye. You done it to me, I can do it back. She sets it down and says, I forgive you. Because eternity's too real and it's too close. It's too much. It isn't worth it. You know those people are going to stand in judgment. The truth of it is that God did make us incredible in our capacities.
Yes.
For His Spirit to work through us and for our understandings, I would only imagine what early man could have had and what God would have intended us to do. I think God limits us for the evil that's perpetrated by it. God don't want us to use all that for evil. For all that we would do, maybe I can shoot naturally and use it to shoot people or hurt people, or I've got a great mind to develop great things or all that. Imagine if the world would use the technology for righteous, holy things. Wouldn't it be wonderful for our great medium that we have and contact that we have, that we could on any time be able to see what the saints over the world are doing and how God's being blessed and lifted up at anywhere in time, and instead of having to change the channels and do all this to try to jump around from wickedness or all those things, that you could know that purity was everywhere you looked.
Yes.
Wouldn't you think that would be wonderful if man used his abilities to promote the things of God? Great intellects and great minds to do those kind of things. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could learn more about how to care for one another than destroy one another? How to be giving than to be selfish? With all of that that God created, I know He didn't create it for us to do evil with. But He created it to do good with. I don't have those kind of gifts. I have a brain, and sometimes things happen with it that I don't understand and know, but God's able to bring thoughts to our minds and give us directions for future and do those things, and He done it through an intelligent, rational mind. And He touches and wants to work with us, and He come in a very rational way tonight to compel us towards the righteousness that He has for us. Compel our minds to bring the things that we have to Him, to use for Him in life. I'm not overly intelligent, but what I have I want to use for the Lord. I'm not overly skilled, but I don't want to use them to hurt people. The hands that I have, the things that I have to be able to do that. Imagine all the songs that's written. All the tunes that's been sung. There's a lot of good gospel things. I'd be willing to say that the most of the tunes that made is a tribute to the devil.
Yes.
Take the beauty and gift of melody, of harmony, of musical abilities, and take and strum it for the devil. But things like when I was growing up, AC/DC, Hell's Bells, every time the bell would ring with me and another person come down in the concert and gave themselves over to the devil. A call to Satan, to serve Satan. Those kind of things that they've done in those kind of things. And done their music. Blue Earth's are calling. I mean, when I was growing up, Don't Fear the Reaper was one of the songs. Don't Fear the Reaper. Over and over said, Don't Fear the Reaper. Trying to tell the young people, don't fear it. The Reaper. It was almost a call to suicide. Self-death. Those kind of things. All of the things that the has out there that is promoted. Think if that would have been righteousness. Think of the gift of humanity. We struggle and wonder sometimes, and the great minds of our world looks around and says, why are we not getting along? Why is there so much division? Why is there so much hurts in there? Well, it's promoted everywhere. It's promoted in everything we do. Promoted everywhere. Lord, help it not to be named among us. This is our time. The sons of men are now being challenged by the daughters, or the sons of God are now being challenged by the daughters of men. It's our time. 2018 and beyond. We're now in the time, or what are we going to do with the world that's there? Are we going to keep ourselves in the faith? Are we going to stay in God? Are we going to start looking towards, listen, we're in the internet age, right? Just going to be honest here. My job, it can be a great tool. I use it myself. Give you a little example. I had a tiller tear up. Transmission in my tiller tore up. I'm not even a mechanic. All the gears and drives and stuff in that thing was intimidating. But there wasn't nobody going to fix it for me. So I had to take it apart and fix it myself. And do you know what? I was able to get on the internet and get a schematics of that thing. And I'd have never known which gear went where. I wouldn't have known what spacer or washers or whatever. And I pulled up on the internet a perfect schematics of that thing and was able to put it back together and get it working. And it works better than new after I got that. And I'm not even a mechanic. And the information age is a wonderful tool. You can do that. I've done it with a refrigerator. Fix the refrigerator. I can fix these. Get this information. Want to know how a plant grows and what it needs? I can go on the internet and find it. It's a wonderful thing. And at the same time, with all the wonderful information there, there is so much ungodliness and unrighteous things on there. You better be very, very, very careful. Because the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. They looked and saw it was so appealing. It was so there. I want to tell you, don't think you control yourself like you think you do. Because there's things that can get a hold of your mind and will control you. You won't have control of yourself. And when I was young growing up, you had to go a lot of miles to do the evils now that you can do in the secret of your home in a couple seconds. You better be very careful with the tools and the things. And we're not going to stand up here, and neither, I don't expect it to ever happen that there'll be any meeting or gathering come together to where we all come up with a conclusion or the ministers conclude that we oughtn't do these things. We're past that, folks. We're past that. There's not going to be a standard or a church standard where we don't use the gadgets. Now it's every man for the relationship he has for the Lord. In the Garden of Eden, the scripture says that there was a tree of life. And there was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you read that scripture, both of those trees was in the midst of the garden. The Hebrew word was centra. They was right in the center of the garden. It wasn't out on the fringes. It sounds like they stood close by one another right in the center of the garden. And that's what it is today. On one hand is life. Yes. I can choose God and be the son of God. But I have to contend every day with the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I have to contend with the evil side. There is almost no societal barriers now to anything you want to do. There is almost no social barrier. Used to be, they would not allow things to be shown on the counter at the checkout stations. They wouldn't do it. There was laws. There was laws against certain things of bad. It ain't there now, hardly at all. Almost anything. Federal Broadcasting, there is still tight rules on it. But you know, they almost don't enforce bad language on it anymore. More and more, it's too hard to control it anymore. It's too much out there. Folks, we're right in the center now. We're right in the center. It's all around us. We're dealing with the things of God, and yet at the same hand, I got right here ability to look up Church of God Preaching God Tom. I can listen to the singing from the camp meeting. I can hear the messages over and over, and I can listen to God's 5 minutes, God's 2 minutes. I can listen to all those things. I got it right here, and all I've got to do is put the cursor over here and be completely away from it into a awful realms. You need the grace of God, and you need it bad. We need an active live experience in the Lord to where I want the Lord more than I want anything else. And if it isn't real, folks, this thing's going to shake us off. And I want to warn us tonight, this is going to shake us off if we don't really mean it. We're going to have to mean this and with all of our heart. And if we don't mean it, we're going to be shook off into this other world of evil and corruption. And you can sit right here in the seats and fulfill that very thing. And the power of it is real. And I want to warn us against it tonight, that the Lord give us every capacity of creation to be able to serve Him as fully as we can. But we can also use the same capacity to do evil on every hand. And there is the choice laid out tonight. You want to serve the Lord? You get a good hold, folks. Get a good hold tonight. Don't stop. Get a good hold of the Lord, that these things will not influence you away, because they surely are relevant in our day and time. Right there in it. I go to the altar too many times with too many people. I know. I've been too far too now. I know what's out there. I've seen the effects of those kind of things. Several years ago, I'm going to quit, but several years ago, Brother Ed can attest to this. There was a minister's meeting having to do with what the internet was and going to be. So-called expert testified at that meeting. Brother Ed will probably remember it. And testified to us that it was an absurd thought that you could download a movie to the internet. You remember that? Brother Ed had some information against it, but it seemed like the expert kind of went away from what Brother Ed was saying and said it's absurd, the information, the amount of bits of information and how much information to be there, there's no way that you'd ever be able to do it. That's been laughable to me, Brother Ed. That was years ago. That has been so blown out of the water, folks. They got the capacity to download all kind of stuff and still have room. You can get anything, anytime. You can watch anything ever done or set foot on there. You can go and see things in the past. You can do anything on there now. And you better be very careful about it. Because we'll lean into it and just now we'll take on something and it seems pretty hard and buy something else and all of a sudden it's family. It's family, they say. You better be careful of that stuff called family. Because just now you'll get into it and you can't quit watching stuff. And just now, I don't like all the lying and I don't like the undress and I don't like what they're saying and doing. But you know, it's entertainment and this and that. And it's family. And it's family this. And you better be very careful. First thing you know, the sons of God just married the daughters of men. And the influence is great. And just now I've opened that up into my family. And my family's long gone and hardly even understand the critical doctrines of the church any longer. And don't hardly even understand what the standards are for or why to do them. Lord help us. This is very serious tonight.
Yes, it is.
We aren't interested in losing anybody. We want everybody to be saved. And we want this thing to be gone way beyond me. I hope my children pack it on if the Lord carries. I hope they go on with the same kind of truth and be able to weather this old world and say, I don't want that old stuff. I don't want it. Me and my wife said a long time ago, you can debate about all this stuff, whether you ought to have a TV or not a TV or where it's acceptable or not. They don't say, we don't care what you say. We're not going to have one. We don't want one in there. Don't want my way of life changed. I don't want it to be challenged by it. I don't want any influence in my life. I know what it is. Well, if programming ain't that bad, the commercials are horrible. It comes from ungodly people into an ungodly stream. If these people aren't righteous, they ain't godly, they don't have a good intent in it. And they promote that. I ain't saying the devil behind every tree. There's things that's not that way. There's pictures of nature and all that kind of stuff. But the overwhelming media is pointed towards one objective. To change our hearts and mind to get us to accept the daughters of men.
That's right.
And Lord help us that we don't accept it. But we stay on the true way and say, Lord, everything that's holy and right, let me be, say amen to it. And let me always walk in that way. And if I've got a sacrifice, let me sacrifice to keep that out of our lives. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.